Zechariah. It's in the Old Testament. If you find the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, then reverse one book, you'll come to the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. We're just going to read one verse this evening, and we will be mentioning several verses, but just one verse. Zechariah chapter 9, the verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Amen. We pray the Lord will indeed bless this very short reading of His Word. And tonight, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to speak from this verse. And because sometimes whenever we read the account of the Gospel or the account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, we think it just comes in the Gospels. But many, many times in the Old Testament, no less than 50, you will read of the prophesying of the coming events of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially, namely, His death, burial, and resurrection. Just in the book of Zechariah alone, if your finger's still there, if you turn over, this is just one event we will be speaking on tonight. But turn over the page to chapter 11, verse 12, and think about these words and try to imagine. Now, this is 500 years before the Lord Jesus come, because it's another 100 years or so, and then there's 400 quiet or 400 silent years. So this is prophesying 500 years in advance. Verse 12, Zechariah 11. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Does that teach us about Judas? Judas Iscariot and betrayed the Lord Jesus, sold him for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver, and then, of course, in his shame, went out and hanged himself. Chapter 12, verse 10, speaking of the cross, and I will pour out, chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Does that not tell us what they done to the Lord Jesus? Whenever they crucified him and pierced his wounded side, then those few followers, especially the Marys, mourned for the loss of her son. And those people mourned for the loss of the Lord Jesus because they loved him so very much. The last chapter, or chapter 13, verse 7, another incident, a messianic prophecy, we could call these. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Does this not teach us or remind us of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that night whenever he wept and cried and poured great sweat drops of blood, realizing what was going to happen to him in the coming hours? He told his disciples to awake, because the enemies of the gospel were coming to get him. And what happened? Whenever they smited the shepherd, whenever they captured the Lord Jesus, the very sheep, the very followers of Christ, they fled because of fear. The very Peter, the very disciples who said, Lord, I'm willing to go to prison, I'm willing to go to death with you, forsook the Lord Jesus. So many, many times we can preach the gospel from the Old Testament. But tonight, rather, I'm going to do more like a word study. And it's found in Zechariah chapter 9. And this particular incident about the Lord Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey is mentioned in all four Gospels in quite detail of what exactly has happened. So there must be something significant about the Lord Jesus riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And that's what we hope to speak about this evening in the will of the Lord. We could call it simply the humble journey, or pleased to be used of the Lord. As we say, this is 500 years before, and there are many, many prophecies in the Old Testament that prophesy the birth, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In the book of Zechariah, these are just some, and even before chapter 9 and chapter 6, etc., there are others. But whenever we read the Old Testament, in fact any book of the Bible, in every book, chapter and verse and page of Scripture, we should always look and seek to find the Lord Jesus Christ, the center message of the Bible. But this particular incident or story or narrative which we're reading about, we can find out in the Gospel Matthew, Mark. And if you turn over, for example, to Mark's Gospel chapter 11, Mark's Gospel chapter 11, we will find out exactly what has happened, or what the Lord was prophesying would happen. And it begins to be telling us, whenever they came nigh or near to Jerusalem, about a mile outside of Jerusalem, they come to a little place called Bethany. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, I want you to go down into the little village and you'll find a donkey, a little ass, and I want you to untie it and bring it to me. And if the owner says anything to you, just tell him the Lord needs it. Isn't that interesting as we read that account? As soon as they go down to take it, the owner says, excuse me, what are you doing with my donkey? And they say, but the Lord has got need of it. And immediately the man said, that's fine, take it with you. And that teaches us something tonight. As the Lord Jesus enters Jerusalem, he sends his disciples for the donkey. Now remember that verse we just read, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The people were expecting a king, but it was a different type of king that they were expecting. A king in those days would have probably ridden on a big, massive, muscular horse, would have ridden in a chariot or a carriage with hundreds, maybe thousands of soldiers treading by his side. But the Lord Jesus, he came in a simple, humble donkey with just a few working type people called his disciples following him. He had no armor, nothing like that to protect him, just a little donkey. He could have easily had a big white horse, a big black stallion. He could have had an elephant. He could have had a king, a lion, the king of the jungle, any animal he wanted to ride in. He could have had 1,000 angels to protect him as he made that journey, that triumphant journey into Jerusalem. But no, he chose to take the lonely path. The Lord Jesus, first of all tonight, three simple things. He chooses to ride a donkey. You might wonder, what is significant tonight whenever we speak about a donkey? Not just any donkey, but this particular donkey tonight. Is there any lessons or anything for us to learn? I was just yesterday speaking to the children about this Easter story. The Lord really challenged my heart about a donkey. And I thought, I'm going to read more into this and think about it. And someone once said, if the Lord ever speaks to your heart, that's the message you want to share with people. The Lord Jesus chooses to ride a little donkey. This donkey was unbroken. It was untrained. It was not the mother, the permanent donkey. It was the colt. It was the young one. Therefore, it was still untrained and unbroken. So we ask the question, what is the significance and what lessons can we learn tonight from the life of this particular donkey? Now, I want to wonder, what lessons are there? And isn't it interesting, first of all, whenever the Lord Jesus was about to be born, was it not a donkey that Mary rode on with Joseph as they made that long, long journey to Bethlehem to give birth to the lovely baby Lord Jesus? 33 years later, the Lord Jesus still chooses to travel the very same means and way on the back of a donkey. Maybe it's not relevant, but I often think maybe the ways of God do not change. Spiritually applying it, God still uses and is pleased to use the foolish into preaching to save those whom he might save. God's ways do not change. Man still needs to be converted by true repentance, not by good works. Those things will never, never change. Now, just like Jesus needed and was pleased to use this little donkey, I believe God is pleased to use people, insignificant people, feeble people, humble people, people often despised by the world and the ways of this world. I remember my church back home, and the church back home, there's all different types of people. As a young boy, I used to watch them, all different people. There was doctors and there was builders, and all different walks of life would come in. And whenever the preacher was preaching about missionaries and preachers, I often wonder, these people are so gifted and so talented. Why did they not become preachers, or why did they not become missionaries? And often whenever you meet a missionary, they're often the most unusual kind and type of people. People who are wealthy, intelligent, fluent speaker, lots of natural gifts, talents and abilities. People who are teachers and doctors, always used to talking to people. People who would boast, for example, I'm a sales representative. I go around the door selling things and I have a natural gift for it. And you challenge them, well, why did you come in the doors with us? Oh no, I couldn't do that. I'm a teacher in a public school. They're a teacher. Why did you come and help us with the children? Oh no, I couldn't do that. And yet you wonder why the Lord isn't pleased to use such people. But whenever we think about 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27, it teaches us something. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Whenever we think of a donkey compared to all those animals which man rides upon, it is probably the smallest and the weakest, yet the Lord Jesus was pleased to use it. Not an elephant or a horse or a camel or a mule, any of those other strong animals. The Lord Jesus chose a donkey. And often, a donkey is often a despised animal. And if you're in this country, if you were riding a donkey out in the countryside and you saw someone trotting along on a horse, it would probably make you laugh and wonder, why are they riding a donkey? It's so slow and bony whenever you can ride a horse. That would probably be a natural reaction. But in the world today, in the East, there are lots of countries who still use the donkeys today for their work and for travelling. Remember hearing this little boy was on the bus one time. He had a terrible stutter, and he was sitting beside someone else whom he did not know in the bus. And one of his friends got onto the bus and said, "Hello, donkey." Called him donkey. And his friend said, this other man who was a stranger said, "Why did he call you donkey?" And he said, "Hee haw, hee haw, hee haw, hee haw. He always calls me that there." And that was sort of making fun of the fact that the guy had a stutter, so they called him donkey. So a donkey is often despised, and people will make jokes about such animal. But just as the Lord Jesus had a special job, a special journey for this donkey to make, I believe, for the Christian tonight, God has a special job and a special place for our lives, our situations, the very pathway which we walk. God has a purpose, a God chosen purpose for our pathway, for our life, and for our being here in this world. And every one of us should seek out God's will and God's way for our lives. God saves us not just to take us to heaven. God saves us for an ultimate purpose, for His glory. And that's why whenever the Lord Jesus, that little donkey, it brings me a great comfort, because He uses the weak and the despised things of this world to bring great glory to the Lord Jesus. Nothing happens by incident. Nothing happens by accident without the foreknowledge of Almighty God. We need to remember that. Even the very small and somewhat insignificant events in life are planned out by Almighty God. And that's good to know that. We should always pray, "Lord, make my life useful. Make my life have a purpose. Use my life, Lord, wherever you can, wherever I am." So not only did the Lord choose to ride a donkey, this particular donkey, if we focus in on it, it was a colt. It was a young donkey. This particular donkey on which Jesus rode was a foal, a young donkey still unbroken. And from reading what happened, it seems perfectly normal, as we just read through this, that the Lord Jesus borrowed the donkey, rode down to Jerusalem. But I believe there's something we can learn tonight. And we should always be careful whenever we're reading the scriptures to read it slowly, read it carefully, verse by verse, and or word by word, and verse by verse, expression by expression. Always pray, "Lord, teach me something from your word tonight." Now, from reading what happened, it seems normal, but there's something here. Verse 2 of 11. It says, "Go your way into the village," of chapter 11 of Mark, "go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set." So, in other words, no one has ever ridden this donkey before. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever ridden a donkey before. I'm sure some of you have. You're probably ashamed to say it. No shame in that. I've ridden a donkey before, and very interesting journey. But a donkey untamed and also untrained can be a very cross and a very dangerous animal. Now, whenever I was growing up back home in Ireland, we lived on a farm and we had a donkey for many years. And that donkey, even though we knew it, it was never trained and it certainly was not tame. Now, we used to have, we were probably pretty wild in those days, certainly changed a lot now, but we used to have competitions with my brothers. We would jump on the donkey's back and see who could stay on the back the longest before you get bucked off. And it was not minutes, it was seconds we could stay on the donkey's back. The moment you got on it, it was going mad up and down like a rocking horse to buck you off. Did not like people on his back. And we were just little kids, no weight at all. They're naturally wild until they're tamed. The Lord Jesus, at this stage, 33 years of age, was a fully grown man, would have weighed normal weight. No one had ever ridden this animal before. At the moment the Lord Jesus sat on his back, there was no problem with it. It was immediately trained, quiet and peaceful as possibly can be. The Lord Jesus, that reminds me of something. The Lord Jesus controlled this little donkey immediately and completely. The moment the Lord Jesus sat on it or spoke to it, it was calm, tame and gentle as the Lord Jesus made that journey into Jerusalem. Well, you might wonder, what is the significance with that? Well, there's a lesson. Whenever the Lord Jesus saves a person, he intervenes with their life and he changes them. The Bible says that all things pass away, all things become new. I could give you illustration after illustration of the hardest and the wildest of sinners. Whenever they're saved, immediately they're changed. Alcoholics, wife abusers, wife beaters, people with filthy tongues, the moment they're saved, stop swearing or loving to their wives or a different person. People like to be around them now, no longer afraid of them. Humanly speaking, this is not possible. But with God, nothing is impossible. The same way the Lord Jesus broke this little donkey's back, I don't mean physically broke it, but broke it so he could ride it, the Lord Jesus can do the same with the hardest of sinners. That's why we should never give up praying for people. We often say that person's too hard for the Lord. That person will never get saved. Never say that. Never say never. Because these people are not too hard for the Lord. Just like that, the Lord Jesus could break them. The hardest sinner can immediately have the softest heart whenever Jesus intervenes in the life. My own minister back home, he was a bad, bad man. He was in jail for almost 10 years. Today he's a preacher of the gospel. Not by his own works, because the Lord saved him and changed him. Turned him completely around. Everyone here tonight who's saved, the Lord has intervened in your life. Those bad habits, those things you've done, those words you said, you don't say them no longer, because you're now controlled by the Spirit of God, and that's the difference. Now, as Jesus walked through the streets, there was a huge commotion. Hundreds, thousands of people gathered, shouting, cheering, throwing off their jackets and throwing down the branches for the animal to walk upon. Now, a donkey, if you were riding a donkey for the first time, if you went like this here, it would throw you off into the crowd. Naturally, it would be afraid and fearful. You ever ride a horse, very intimidated? That's the way it would be. If the Lord Jesus walked and walked, wasn't frightened at all, was the little donkey, as he continually never went ballistic, yet peacefully walked. He walked on in full obedience, submissiveness to his master. Jesus perfectly happy to ride on the little donkey's back. You know something? The Lord chose this little donkey. Way 500 years before, this little donkey was chosen out to be the one that would be ridden off by the Lord. That reminds me of something else, that we are, as God's people, are chosen tonight. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Are we not thankful tonight to be chosen to be one of God's people, not only in salvation, but also to be used as witnesses and servants of the Lord? The Lord used the little donkey, and we should be pleased to be used tonight. The last thing, just a few lessons from this little donkey. Now, that donkey I was telling you about that we had, he was called Neddy, or Ned for short. And one day he came out and our neighbour came and said, your donkey's on the road. So remember, my dad sent me and my brother down to get the donkey, and we got a hold of him and we could not move it. Well, he prayed it, and it just stayed there and never even buzzed. I went back and told my dad, and he was getting a bit upset because the donkey was on the road. So he came, and three of my brothers and me, we pushed the donkey, and my dad pulled the donkey, and still the donkey would not budge. So my dad said, that's it. He went home and got the car, and he put a rope around the donkey's neck and started pulling it, and still the donkey would not move. That was an old Rover, and if the dad went, the back of it would die. The food pressure was on, and the donkey was so stubborn. Eventually, the rope was about to break. Either the head came off the donkey, or the car gave up. And thankfully, the car never gave up, and the head didn't come off. He got it home, but that donkey put up such a fight. Such a fight because of its stubbornness. And I thought, are there any lessons tonight whenever we think about that? The donkey had a wild temper. It was stubborn. It was disobedient. Determined to do its own thing. To go its own way. And so many people, so many of us are like that. Before the Lord saves us, terrible tempers, we're stubborn, we're disobedient, we're determined to do our own thing. Yet the Lord breaks us just like that. That's a wonderful thing about the power of the blood. But the problem is sometimes, myself included, as God, whenever he saves us, we're not willing to be completely changed. This is called the process of sanctification, dying unto sin. And we need to die daily unto sin. All those old nature, that old man, it needs to go. Needs to go. That's why we need to pray and plead the blood of Christ every single day to make us strong. And those old things that hinder our walk with God and hinder our fellowship with man, it needs to be broken. Just like that old donkey. The one who made us, saved us, can also sanctify us. Help us die daily unto sin. If we let the Lord have his way in our life every day, then he really will make us to be the people he wants us to be. Now, Jesus made that journey. It was a sad journey. Most kings come in and they're triumphant because everyone's singing and shouting and praising and he's saluting them. But I believe the Lord Jesus was sad. Because as he saw the smiles of those people, he knew it was just a smile from the face, a smile from the head, but not from the heart. Because very soon, Jesus was full of humility. He was full of compassion for the very people. He cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest would be with their same lips cry out, Crucify him! Crucify him! The very same people. He called out praising him, would call out, Crucify him! How quickly the people turned on the Lord. All the time thinking that Jesus was some political king to save the people in their political battles. And what a shock they got whenever they were rudely disappointed. And this very Jesus who came in on the donkey's back, claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who very soon would give his life, lay down his life, a ransom for many. One day they praised him with their lips, the next they hated him with all their hearts, gritted their teeth with frustration, hatred and anger, calling out, crucify him, put him to death. One day, crying out for the Lord. And my friends, tonight in closing, if Jesus is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. He needs to be Lord of absolutely everything. The people prove not to really love the Lord. Certainly not with all their hearts. But I wonder tonight, do you love him? And how much do you love him? How much do you really love him? King of my life, the hymn says, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. I pray tonight that our hearts, our thoughts and focus may continually and daily be upon Calvary. What the Lord Jesus has done for us, laying down his life, to set us free. And I trust and pray that even simple lessons, object lessons like this of the donkey, the Lord is able to use it, and he's willing and able to use us if we are but willing to submit our lives completely to him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. We're glad to see you all tonight. In the Savior's name, we bid you welcome. A few of our prayer warriors are missing tonight. It's not because I'm preaching, because they didn't know I was preaching. Unless Mark phoned them all, but I doubt it very much. Just a slight change in plan. So I do ask everyone, there's not much time left, 25 minutes or so, we'll get down to prayer. And this is a wonderful time. If you've never prayed before, I urge you to step out in faith tonight and just pray. And if you are a Christian and you really love the Lord, thank the Lord for Calvary and thank the Lord for saving you. Just say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And that's a lovely prayer. Acknowledge that you're a child of God and never be ashamed to do that. And the hardest time, the hardest place, is always the first time. And the easiest place is in the prayer meeting, because God's people are praying with you and praying for you. Is there any prayer requests tonight? Anything anyone to pray for?